You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN Energy's daily blog, the oil and gas industry's go-to source for insight. Every day, we cover commodity fundamentals, industry changes, and developing trends across energy markets. And now, we're making it easier than ever to enjoy our blogs. Whether it's on your drive into work, while you're at the office, or at home walking the dog, settle in, turn the volume up, and enjoy.
Thursday, June 24th, 2021. Generator. Wind generation has a lot of fans. Published by Rob King. Hydrocarbons, mostly natural gas and coal, are still the energy source behind the lion's share of electric power generation in the U.S. However, renewables like wind and solar are now the frontrunners when it comes to scheduled capacity additions. In fact, renewables account for about 70% of the total 37.9 gigawatts of new generating capacity under construction in 2021. Recent announcements such as final federal approval for the Mammoth Vineyard Wind 1 project, by far the largest permitted offshore wind project in the U.S. to date, only bolster the view that wind power's role in U.S. power generation will continue to grow through the 2020s. Today, we look at the surge in construction of onshore and offshore wind farms and what it means for the overall power generation mix. The power generation sector in the U.S. has been undergoing significant change. Coal has been falling out of favor, and gas-fired generation has been on the rise. But a large majority of the capacity being added lately falls under the renewables banner. Despite its intermittent nature, wind power now accounts for about 8% of total U.S. electricity generation, or more than 8 times its share in 2008. Further, wind power is now the largest contributor from the renewables side of the ledger, just above hydroelectric power, which held that title until 2019. Wind was able to capture that top slot due to a number of new installments coming online. In fact, the 24 gigawatts of wind projects completed in 2019 and 2020 accounts for 20% of the 119 gigawatts of wind generation in operation at the end of last year. Despite the fact that humans have been capturing wind energy to power mechanical processes for millennia, harnessing its power to generate electricity at an economic scale in the modern era has required a climb up the learning curve. When you look at the early projects, they started off small and then began to get more efficient and generate a higher output. As tax incentives were enacted, funding became more available, and regulatory approval became easier, projects were able to achieve serious scale. That led to almost exponential growth in the amount of wind power capacity online in the U.S. Another 16.2 gigawatts of wind will be added to the grid this year, pushing the installed capacity total to near 135 gigawatts. And while the growth rate the U.S. has seen in wind power over the past 15 years is projected to slow somewhat in the five-year forecast generated by the U.S. Energy Information Administration, or EIA, actual growth has often exceeded these forecasts in the past. Over the last 10 years, the generating capacity of new wind power projects have averaged just above 100 megawatts. However, the wind power projects either under construction or recently completed but not yet fully in commercial operation average 225 megawatts. It may not come as a surprise that Texas, already the leading state for wind generation, will account for 36%, or 5.1 gigawatts, of all new U.S. wind capacity in 2021, or that the largest wind project that will go live in 2021 is located in the Lone Star State. With a planned capacity of 525 megawatts, CMS Energy and Kansai Electric Power Company's Aviator Wind Project in Cook County, about 100 miles east of Midland, will be the second largest single-phase wind project in operation in the U.S. It will rank just behind the Rush Creek Wind Project in Colorado, which clocks in at 600 megawatts. Honorable mention here goes to the Alta Wind Project in California, which at more than 1 gigawatt has a larger overall capacity but was completed in multiple phases. The next up large capacity addition, with a planned in-service date of mid-2022, will be the Traverse Wind Project in Oklahoma with a nameplate capacity of 999 gigawatts, which we can fairly round up to 1 megawatt. While that's a gigantic and exciting project to be sure, the one creating the most buzz recently is the Vineyard Wind 1 project we mentioned in our introduction. Located just off the coast of Martha's Vineyard, an island off Cape Cod, the offshore wind farm, which won final federal approval last month, has a planned capacity of 800 megawatts and will be 26 times larger than any other offshore wind farm in operation in the U.S. when it comes online in 2023 to 2024. For comparison, the largest European offshore wind farm is the Hornsea 1 project off the eastern coast of the UK, and it has a capacity of 1,218 megawatts. A number of other, large offshore wind projects are also being planned. With an increasing proportion of the planned generation mix coming from wind power and solar, the worry is that when the wind stops blowing, where the sun stops shining, you lose that power and other sources have to fill in. This generally has meant natural gas and coal-fired generation, which, as we've talked about in California Dreamin', can actually subvert a stated goal of wind generators, burning less fossil fuel. Further, as Texas experienced in February, having roughly 20% of its power generated by wind helped expose the state to reliability issues that are still being discussed. Conversely, there are also times of low demand, when the wind is blowing and you don't need the extra power, then too much generation can actually overburden the power system, forcing wind generation to be curtailed as a result. There are a couple of potential solutions out there to help solve the intermittency issue. The current favorite is lithium-ion battery capacity that can accompany wind and solar projects to help them become a steadier form of generation. A longer-term option may be hydrogen. As you may remember from our Help Part 2 and Part 3 blogs, electricity is the largest single cost in hydrogen production, and using wind power could not only hold down power costs, it would result in green hydrogen, the best from an environmental perspective. Better yet, the produced hydrogen could be used to generate carbon-free power when the wind dies down. Although there are not currently any wind-to-hydrogen projects yet on our US-focused hydrogen billboard project list, in the UK the engineering firm Tractable is looking into building a huge offshore turbine alongside hydrogen-producing electrolyzers. The point in all of this, wind, solar, and hydrogen alike, is to lower overall carbon emissions from electricity generation. Though wind power doesn't eliminate carbon impacts due to manufacturing, transportation, and construction practices each involving its own carbon footprint, the emissions are mostly front-loaded on the projects, which assists in the estimation of their overall efficacy and the goal of reducing emissions. Zealous supporters of an energy transition can be found everywhere from Capitol Hill to Wall Street, and even Bagby Street in Houston. It's clear which way the wind is blowing, in the near term at least, wind power continues to have good momentum. Generator was written by Dave Grohl, Nate Mendel, and Taylor Hawkins and appears as the fifth cut on the Foo Fighters' third studio album, There Is Nothing Left to Lose. The song was released as a single in Europe in March 2000 and Australia the following month. Dave Grohl uses a talkbox in parts of the song, inspired by Peter Frampton and Joe Walsh's use of the device. Personnel on the record were Dave Grohl on lead vocals, guitars, loops, drums, and talkbox, Nate Mendel on bass, and Taylor Hawkins on drums and percussion. There Is Nothing Left to Lose was recorded between March and June 1999 at Grohl's home in Northern Virginia and Conway Recording Studio in Los Angeles, with production handled by Adam Casper and the Foo Fighters. Released in November 1999, the album went to number 10 on the Billboard Top 200 Albums chart, and it has been certified platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America. The LP won 2 Grammy Awards. 5 singles were released from the album. Foo Fighters is an American rock band formed in Seattle in 1994. It was started as a one-man project of Dave Grohl's after the dissolution of Nirvana following Kurt Cobain's death. He got the name Foo Fighters from a term Allied aircraft pilots used for UFOs. Foo Fighters have released 10 studio albums, 5 live albums, 2 compilation albums, 10 EPs, and 56 singles, and have sold over 12 million albums in the US. The band has won 1 American Music Award, 5 Brit Awards, 12 Grammy Awards, and 2 MTV Video Music Awards, and was recently inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Foo Fighters' current lineup has 6 members, is still record and tour, and released their latest album, Medicine at Midnight, in February 2021. In New York City last Sunday, June 20, Foo Fighters performed at what was Madison Square Garden's first full-capacity show since COVID-19 took hold more than 15 months ago. The band is scheduled to play Lollapalooza in Chicago on August 1 and has dates booked at major festivals in the summer of 2022.
This has been the RBN Energy Blogcast. Thanks for listening.